You may be seated. What's that? Okay. If you've been a Christian for any time at all, you've been reading your Bible. And in reading your Bible, you remember the early part of Christ's beginning of ministry started with temptation. The devil tempted him, as you and I are tempted. There were three different temptations. And Jesus bore all of them without sinning. In part of the temptation, he replied to Satan. It was actually the last temptation. It's recorded in Matthew chapter 4. Turn there, if you will, this morning, Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, verse 10. Then said Jesus unto him, he's talking to the devil, "Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." Folks, this morning we want to consider Christ's reply to the temptation. He gave the devil orders. And the devil did depart from him. But he also gave us an order. I guess you would call it a Bible principle about serving. Why should we, you and I, serve? Why should we serve? And so this morning, I would like for us to look at one of the temptations that Satan confronted our Savior. The reason that we're doing this is because we want to learn from our Lord. He's the one we need to emulate. He's the one we need to learn from. We need to learn how to respond to satanic attacks. Because there will be satanic attacks. You have experienced them all of your life. Not necessarily. The devil doesn't have to worry about us. Because we're not that strong spiritually. Jesus Christ is. I mean, the devil can send one of his minions. and he's content with that. That's all it takes, is a demon to oppress us. Now, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, you cannot be possessed by a demon because you are already possessed by the Holy Spirit of God. But if you do not have the Holy Spirit of God in your soul, folks, look out. There's room for somebody else in there. And we need to understand that without the Holy Spirit of God, we are subject and open to demonic attack. So, I want to read three verses here in Matthew chapter 4, where we are. Matthew chapter 4, beginning at verse 8. And the Bible tells us, again, the devil taketh him up to an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them, and saith unto him, These things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then our beginning verse, Then saith Jesus to him, Get thee hence, Satan, For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Now, the devil was offering Jesus the very things that he had created during the creation. At the time, they had been given to the devil. He is in control. He is the prince of the power of the air. He is in control right now. He thinks. God overall is in control. Jesus came to this earth for many purposes. And he came to set examples for each of us as to what we should do with our lives and the motive that we should have for the things that we do. Jesus, in his reply to the devil, gave us two purposes for our existence. The first one was to worship God, and that's why we're here this morning. We have come here to jointly, corporately worship God. No other reason. I didn't come for donuts this morning, okay? They were there. And if you wanted one, it was yours. And if you wanted a cup of, and I did drink some coffee, I'll have to tell you that. But that's not the purpose I came here for this morning. I came here to fellowship with you folks. Like precious believers. And in our corporate worship to the Lord, there is a certain strength that we gain from one another. That's the first reason that Jesus gave us for assembling ourselves together. The second one was to serve him. This provokes a question. What is our reason for serving God? Basically, we're getting into motive. And that would be our motive for the things that we do. Why did you come to church this morning? I can think of a number of reasons. You wanted a donut and a cup of coffee. I already mentioned that. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. If you wanted to learn something about God and that you thought you could do that here, that's a good reason for coming. If you wanted to worship God with other believers and you knew that you could do that here, or you enjoyed having your toes stepped on and you came for that purpose, it's entirely up to you why you came. One of the questions that I ask myself each week is there a reason that people would want to come to church at this church? Folks, that's an awfully important question. And the answer is very important also. Do we have something to offer them if they come? And that is something other than donuts and coffee, by the way. When Jesus was tempted by the devil, he gave the devil two things that should be substantiated or substituted for what the devil wanted. The two things that should be substituted is worship and service. Look at verse 10 of Matthew 4. One of the things that Jesus told us to do was to worship God. Who else would you worship? What else would you worship? That would work for all of us if we didn't have any idols in our life. And folks, it is so easy to acquire idols. The problem is that some of us have let idols sneak in unawares. and we don't realize that the idol has interrupted our relationship to God. Now, the idol doesn't have to be a statue or some other object. It could be a person. It even could be a pet. I have seen pets that were idols. I've seen people become idols. I've seen sons and daughters and husbands and wives become idols. They come between. You know what an idol is? An idol is anything, anything that comes between you and your service to God. Sometimes we serve people more than we serve God. We're supposed to worship God every day, not just on Sundays. Every day is supposed to be what we are doing, whatever we're doing, whatever your job may be or whatever your task may be for the day, it should be in worship to God. Is something keeping you from worshiping every day? Might be work, might be leisure, might be a personal relationship. Yes, these things can all become idols. That's why we need to get apart every so often and take inventory of our lives. Have we picked up an idol along the way? Jesus told the devil that we were to do two things. They were to worship and they were to serve. And that's what I'd like for us to look at this morning. I'd like for us to consider what kind of service we are to give God every day. Not just on Sunday morning or Wednesday night, but every day. What kind of service are we to give God? When it comes to worship, what do we consider to be categorized as worship? We sing to the object of our worship. We've already sung this morning. We make music to the one that we're worshiping as a way of pleasing the object of our worship. The Psalms command that we make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Some of you can't sing. I've heard you. Some of you shouldn't sing, I've heard you too, okay? But we are to sing to the object of our worship. That includes you, Ricky. Okay. To make a joyful noise. And the noise that we make to the Lord is to be joyful. Psalm 95:1 says, "Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation." Folks, it doesn't matter whether you can sing or not. Go make that joyful noise. And make it loud so the world can hear you. So they know that you have joy in your heart. And there's only one way that you're going to have joy in your heart. There's a difference, folks, between joy and happiness. Happiness is a momentary external thing. Joy is an internal, eternal thing. Internal, eternal. And joy is brought to our life, our soul, by the Holy Spirit. If you have any question about that, look at Galatians 5:22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. I want to read a few of the places in Scripture, most of it Old Testament. Well, this is all Old Testament, that has to do with our singing and our joy. I read Psalm 95:1. Psalm 81:1 says, "Sing aloud unto God our strength. Make a joyful noise unto the God of Jacob." Psalm 66:1, "Make a joyful noise to God, all ye lands." Psalm 95:2, "Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms." Psalm 98:4, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise." A loud noise. The world needs to know that we are filled with joy for the Lord, by the Lord. They need to know that. That would give them a purpose for wanting what we have. That would give them a purpose for looking to see what it is that makes us different. Psalm 98:6, "With trumpets," hear that, Tim? And even clarinets, okay, it's not mentioned, but it's here. "With trumpets and sound of cornet, make a joyful noise before the Lord, the King." When Mike Schrock comes, you're going to hear some trumpet playing. He plays the trumpet, and he plays the trumpet. Okay? And that's part of making a joyful noise. Psalm 101, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands." So the Word of God doesn't tell us to make a pretty sound. Okay? It doesn't have to be pretty. Just a joyful noise. Anyone can do that. God accepts that joyful noise as worship to him. That's part of worship. But there's more. Giving of thanks is a form of worship. Praising God or Jesus or the Holy Spirit is a form of worship. These things are all forms of worship. There's some of the things that we do when we come together as a corporate body that we call the church. There is one thing that has to be a part of these activities. Love for the one being worshiped. That is so important. Ever since mankind worshiped an object of one kind or another, there has been one of two motives for worship. You know what they are? Love, that's easy, or fear. People worship for one of those two reasons, love or fear. We love our God. The other religions fear theirs. For a reason. Their gods are to be feared because they do not look for love from their God. They do not receive love from their God. We have one part that we need to be involved in. So let's look at serving as represented in the Scriptures. Let's start with Scripture, Matthew 6:24. Matthew 6:24. One page over, actually. "No man can serve two masters. For he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon." Herein lies our problem. We know in our mind that we're supposed to be serving God, but we have, all of us have other people in our lives. We do. We have other people in our lives, and sometimes we give them a higher priority than we do God. You know what that person has just become? An idol. An idol. So easy to sneak into our life. So easy to become a part of our life. and we don't realize that we are permitting them to become an idol between us and God. Sometimes we are trying to serve two or three or more masters when we only have the capacity to serve one faithfully. I am sure that many of you have had times where you've had more than one boss. How's that work out? It really doesn't work very well, folks. I've been there. Which one do you obey? You might say, well, God put this other person or these other people in my life, and what do you expect me to do? The answer is to serve God first. But we don't know how to do that. It's like Jesus said, we can't serve two masters. We are attempting to do something impossible because he said we can't do that. So we're going to have to make a decision as to who we're going to serve. Our service is our ministry. Your service is your ministry to God. Whether it is for God or to some person, that could involve a marriage partner that we've been with for years, or some other person that we've been with for a period of time. But in that kind of a case, it's certainly not God. I've discovered that if we serve God first, that God will help us to have a more effective ministry to other people, including the people that we have been with for some time. We have to get our priorities right. We have to get our priorities right. God has to be first in our service. And God has to be first in our service to God, must include blood. Our service to God must include blood, the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. If it's not under that blood, then it means nothing, it is void. Hebrews 9:14 tells us, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. You have to be born again. You have to be. If you're not born again this morning, your sins are not under the blood. Your service is not under the blood. Your worship is not under the blood of Christ. And if we are not serving God, we're not properly serving other people. We must have all of our sin under the blood of Jesus Christ. In order to serve God, we have to have our sin under the blood of Jesus. And we have to have the same situation in order to serve anyone else properly. God wants us to serve him first, and in serving him, we will serve those others that he has placed in our life. He's the one who has put them there. And he's put them there so that you can serve them. Jesus was very clear about that fact, and we can only serve one or the other. We serve either God first or we serve the person first. Throughout the Bible, there are promises about the future of a future that we give those others that we love. Let me share one such scripture with you. It's John 12:26. John 12:26. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Many people don't realize that this is a promise to the servant of Jesus Christ, that he will take his servants with him to heaven or wherever he goes, and God will honor those servants for their service. So if you want to provide a wonderful experience for your loved one, serve God first, and your loved one will have a chance to see Jesus in action in your life. A part of our service to God is to serve each other. Galatians 5:13 says, "For brethren, ye have been called to liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." Take some gospel tracts with you and leave. Put them in your pocketbook or your pocket. Have them available to the people you meet along the way. I can't speak for anyone else, but I know that I haven't been completely successful in my efforts at Paul's command to us, Romans 12:1, when he said, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable," what? Service. There's that word, service, again. Jesus used that word, or a form of it, when he rebuked the devil during his temptation. God wants us to serve him after we are saved, not before. Our service means nothing before. It is not service to God. Many times, without being born again, many times without the Holy Spirit living within us, indwelling us, life gets in the way. Life does get in the way. It gets in the way of illness. It gets in the way of friendships. It gets in the way of falling in love. You want to know how love can affect a life? Hire a young man to do a job and let him fall in love. You might as well kiss the job goodbye. Because, folks, we are motivated by love, either love for ourselves or love for someone else or love for God. And it's supposed to be love for God. It's easy to lose track of the fact that we are supposed to love God first. This life that you and I are living right now is just a preparation for the next life. And there is a next life. A lot of people don't believe it. They think it's all over when it's over. But it's not. It's just beginning the next life. We want to make sure that we spend it with Jesus Christ, because he provided eternal life for us by paying for our sin on Calvary. He bought us. There are people who think that they don't know how to serve God. Let me show you what the Bible says. Ephesians 6, 5 and 7, through 7. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of heart, as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as unto the Lord and not unto men. Who are you serving with your life? Are you serving God or are you serving men? Do you understand that everything we do in this life can be a form of service to the Lord? Mopping the bathroom floor can be done to the glory of God. It's service to God, if that's what He's called you to do. If we're doing what we do to glorify God, no matter what it is, it can be service for the Lord. And as I said a few minutes ago, this is just preparation for the life to come when this life is over. When this life is over, we will start a whole new life. One filled with glory. One filled with pleasure. One filled with peace. Because of God. Because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at what Jesus told the Apostle John in the book of Revelation, which we are studying on Sunday nights. And we won't get to this verse until several Sunday nights from now. Revelation 22, 1 through 5. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it. And his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither the light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Folks, that's a promise to God's people. And if you are God's people this morning, that is a promise to you. If you do whatever you do for the glory of God, then your whole life will be one of service to God. What will you do with your life? Father, we are so grateful that you loved us enough to send your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to come and die as a payment for our sin. He shed his blood, Father, for all of our sin, for the sins of the entire world. Help us, Father, to share that message with the world through our missionaries, through our church, but most of all, Father, through our daily living. And may we share that message with the people around us so they can share in your love like we do. Thank you, Father, for all that you have done to bring us to this place. May your will be done in each life here, and we will praise you, Father, for all that you do, because we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.